The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, thanks once again for joining us here on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, and this week we're joined by one of our fairly newer priests in the Diocese of Cleveland, and blessed to have you here, Father. Father Ian Kelly, ordained this year. Father, welcome to God Calling.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Paul.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up at St. Charles in Parma. My family's been there for on and off for four generations.
Wow.
So my grandmother went to the grade school there, and my dad was a music director there growing up as well. So it's great.
How important are those family roots in you know, you discerning what you wanted to do with your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, family is probably one of the most important. You know, I remember going to the 10:30 Hall Mass at St. Charles every week, and my dad played and my mom sang, and we sat in the same place, and my grandma was there. And so it was just kind of this whole family reality of going to church together and really setting that this was an important aspect of the family life.
Socialize afterwards, dinner, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, socialize afterwards, you know, we'd go home, you know, different stuff like that, and just getting to know these other people too that were in the parish, you know, more than just who we saw at Mass, but how that was really part of our parish community.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's changing as far as people, it's kind of like, let's squeeze Mass in as opposed to Mass being the center of us, well, Saturday night or Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, growing up, you know, we just always went to the 10:30, and, you know, there's still those people, you know, I see them at Mass, you know, where they're very consistent in the Mass they go to, but, you know, I feel like so often nowadays, there's so many things going on that people are trying to, praise God, find a way to put Mass into their schedule, but there's somewhat less of that consistency of what Mass community maybe you normally frequent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mass is kind of funny because they call it hospitality minister. I'm an usher. That's why you open the door for folks. You can almost tell what order people are going to show up and where they're going to sit.
Yeah.
It's absolutely without fail.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to school there?
Yeah. So I went to school at St. Charles, K through 8, and then graduated and went on to St. Edward High School. And then from there to the University of Dayton and then to the seminary. So Catholic school my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A blessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. When did you early on start to feel a call?
Yeah, so I mean, when my junior and senior year of high school, I was definitely thinking about it more seriously through being involved in my youth group, through being involved in different retreats and meeting different priests and meeting different people who really encouraged my vocation. And, you know, I can remember some times in my childhood, you know, a love for being an altar server and being involved in different prayer and youth activities at the parish. And I kind of just really wasn't sure enough to mm-hmm. make that leap of faith. When I was in high school, and I kind of thought, well, let me go to school and maybe get a different degree first and then see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. What degree did you get?
So I ended up transferring to the seminary halfway through college. But
okay.
I was actually pursuing a degree in accounting for a little bit and then just kind of felt a really profound call as I kind of made the faith my own in college, which was a very powerful experience for me to look back on. Kind of, you know, parents aren't around anymore. There's really not this expectation to go to church. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know people at school. You know, how do I get involved in these things? How do I make the faith my own? And it was really through starting to go to daily Mass that I can say really made a big change in my life and kind of that that reality to make the change to go to the seminary.
Mm-hmm. Is there Mass on campus at Dayton every day?
Yeah, Dayton. Yeah, there was at least one Mass on campus every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did they have a Newman?
No, it's a Catholic there? University.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Newman was very important to me in the college years. It's a time of There's a freedom. You can go one way or the other, I guess.
Absolutely.
Do younger people talk to you about that? I'm at college, Father, and I don't know.
Kind of starting at the parish in the summer, there's not a ton of college-age kids that I've been able to meet yet. But there's a handful from Christmas break and stuff like that where I see the importance of them living out their faith, whether they come to one of our daily masses or I see them at some of our different events. And you can tell that if your faith is important in your life, you're going to make the mass important in your life. You know, my biggest suggestion to people is making that important. I based my schedule around daily mass my freshman and sophomore year at the University of Dayton. And I definitely know that that changed the way that I was praying, changed the way that I was thinking about what was next in my life and the more that God was calling me to.
Was there a specific pastor or teacher, sister who said something that planted that seed?
You know, I can very clearly remember, coming back to St. Charles, my sophomore year of college and helping serve at the Triduum, Holy Thursday mm-hmm. and Easter Vigil sure. and Good Friday. And with my dad working at the parish, we knew Father Carlin had run through the rectory as kids. And it was a really great opportunity for him to just throughout that time to just kind of encourage me, in his own way, kind of say, like, get that kid an application for the seminary. And, so that was just kind of like a lot of really positive feedback from Father Carlin and just support. And then a lot of other priests who were like, you love doing retreats. You love doing you love being involved in the sacraments. Like, I think you should take this leap of faith.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's possible to push too hard to somebody that might force them away as opposed to growing?
Yeah, I think that's always possible. I think kind of too much pressure can definitely be a problem, right? Because we want this to be a free movement of someone's heart and the way that they're inspired through prayer. I'd rather say that it's good to encourage, to say, I see something in you, and maybe it's not priesthood, but to still encourage that life of ministry and that movement towards God.
You're called, but you have to discover it yourself, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Tell me about the seminary.
Yeah, so the seminary, I entered halfway through, and so I finished up at John Carroll, and it was, I didn't really know what to expect. So I had never visited the seminary. I actually started applying to the seminary in August, and I was accepted 2 weeks later. Wow. And I just kind of showed up there, and I had no idea what I was, walking into. But it was definitely just a great place of learning what I really wanted to learn, growing as a person. As a human, growing spiritually, just having a lot of these things that I desired in my heart that I didn't even know I fully desired mm-hmm. Through having spiritual direction and having these classes and being with people who were like-minded and loved the Lord like I did.
Mm-hmm. The growing process, I think I've said this on many shows. People, I think, have this idea that the seminary is Gregorian chant, and I see the soccer teams and the guys are guys, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of sports, music, a lot of different activities, going into cultural experiences, having food together, all of that, right? We're trying to grow to be the best men we can so that we can be the best priests.
Yeah. Father, stay wherever you are. We hope our listeners will do the same thing. Father Ian Kelly joining us on God Calling. Stay right where you are. Father Ian Kelly joining us on God Calling, May, ordained. As you're working your way through the seminary, ever any doubts?
Never any major doubts, but you always kind of have that question of like, is this really what I want to do? You have other people your age kind of going on, having careers, and you're like, I'm still in school, and and they're starting to, live out their own vocation. And so, you have those questions, is this what I'm supposed to do? But the more that I was involved in seminary, the more that I was going out and doing these different experiences of being at a parish or serving at a school or, all these different field mm-hmm. education experiences that we have, I just felt more and more that this is what God is calling me to.
People talk about entering the seminary. It's a tough process. You got to be accepted. It's no different than any other college
yeah,
program.
Absolutely.
And it's probably more rigorous given some of the testing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's all the psychological testing and the interviews and stuff like that. I mean, it's not simply just, can you do the academics?
Mm-hmm.
Seminary, that's one of the parts of seminary, but there's still the pastoral heart, the human and the spiritual. And so how are we growing in those ways and how are we formable in those ways?
Yeah. Can't have a temper. I wouldn't think. To be, you have to roll with the punches quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we talk about from time to time with people on the show, there might be a funeral tomorrow morning. There might be, you have to go midnight, go give someone last rites. So you gotta roll with the punches.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In the seminary, as you approached, you mentioned some of your experiences out in a parish. Mm-hmm. Tell me about those. How did those cement?
I think one of the most powerful and impactful experiences I had was on my pastoral internship year at a parish full time. So I was assigned to St. Sebastian's in Akron. And it was just a very, very wonderful experience of what it was like to live kind of daily life like a priest, to follow in those ways and to continue in prayer, to be in fraternity. That was actually right before COVID started. So I kind of like had this really full experience of being in a parish and, you know, picking up the pieces when something fell down. And then all of a sudden we closed down.
Yeah.
Everything was over. And, you know, just trying to figure out how to use my gifts to get us online and produce content and get us up and running and working with parishioners to do that too, who had experience. And, you know, I was able to help install a really great live stream and create a nice online presence for the school and the parish. And
now, where was that?
St. Sebastian's.
St. Sebastian's, yeah.
Yeah.
Because okay, they wrote very nice things about you. And you're using those skills
to
bring the word to people when they can't come to you.
Yeah, so it was a wonderful time to be there and to really take that into coming back to seminary and kind of moving on in my formation.
Mm-hmm. Not long after that, I suspect, you became a deacon.
I did, yeah.
What happened then?
So, you know, becoming a deacon was a, you know, really powerful experience. Me and my classmates together, you know, getting called, you know, that's kind of a whole another reality of, you know, fear and worry to an extent. You never know, like, am I ready? Is the faculty think I'm ready? Does the bishop think I'm ready? You know, and the reality is we're not ready. you know, it's really like, are we still ready to grow with Christ? And are we ready enough to go out and serve the people of God? You know, we're always still growing. If we think that at the end of seminary, we're ready to go and be the best we can ever be, you know, that's not always going to be the case. You know, we still have places and ways to grow and experiences to have and things to learn.
I should play you some tapes when I first started on the radio. Not a pretty picture. It takes some time, no doubt about it. Now, are there steps? Do you have to interviews to decide that you're going to be ordained a deacon?
Yeah. So, you know, to be ordained, you know, you have your meetings with the faculty that you have every year and, you know, they recommend you to the bishop and you write him a letter. And then you have an interview. And so it's just you and the bishop, you know. And, you know, praise God that I had gotten to know Bishop Mlesik through being one of his masters of ceremonies and being with him at confirmations or parish celebrations. So it wasn't as intimidating of like, I've never really met the bishop. I don't even know if he knows my name, you know.
Right.
But really having a bishop who I had gotten to know and who I knew wanted to get to know me.
Mm-hmm. What's it like at the parish now that you're there and—
Yeah,
so, ready to go, parochial vicar.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's great to be at the parish. You know, there's a lot of really wonderful people out in Menor and, you know, new to the area to an extent, but the seminary's in Wycliffe, so not too far off. And, you know, all the people in Worcester always joked that I was going as far away as possible after my diaconate. And so it was great and wonderful to just be assigned a place, you know, to know where I'm going to be and be able to minister. You know, everything else is always a year. You know, you're ministering for a year. And so you make some connections, but eventually it's over, you know?
Yeah.
But this is a blessing to be assigned somewhere. And Father Johns has been an amazing pastor and great priest to learn from. And just getting to know the parish staff and getting to know the people, you know, just really living that sacramental life of the church, you know, going to anoint people, celebrating daily Eucharist with them, having the funeral call come in and changing your plans. But it's beautiful. You know, it's a great parish to learn from, great people. And one of the special things about being at St. John Vianney is that we every week, each priest teaches in the school.
Oh.
So I actually have three grades that I teach every week. And so that's a wonderful opportunity to be in the school and to be involved in the life of our Catholic education.
Yeah. Moving maybe every 3 years or whatever it might be down the road. It's got to be tough because day one, they know you.
Yeah.
And now you've got, 1,000 names to
people
to learn.
Absolutely.
And some of the longtime parishioners might get their nose out of joint unless you come up with it right off the tip of your tongue.
Yeah. But, yeah. It was actually funny. You know, even this morning, one of the daily mass goers, you know, I was like, I don't even know her name, you know, like I know her husband's name, you know, because he helps with some other things that I see him during the day. But I was just like, yeah, like, you know, there's always new names to know and new names to learn and so many new people all the time. And so it's trying to slowly work through that and to remember that, like, yeah, you know, unless people introduce themselves every week to you, it's going to be hard to get to know their name until it's time and time and time again.
Well, and they bring burdens to you as well. Like, is this the one who's having trouble with the pregnancy? Or is that the one whose mother is sick? That sort of stuff has really got to be a tough. You got to be on top of your game all the time.
Yeah, you know, you're constantly moving from one thing to another. You know, someone who has this, experience or is asking you for this advice and then confession, and then all of a sudden you're moving next into, okay, we're going to go play this fun game with the youth group. And so, you know, you're back and forth on these different realities and just knowing that, you know, you're able to make those changes and able to do those things because of your relationship with Christ and the way in which you're being conformed to be more like him.
Father, we're going to take a break and then come back with more on God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Thanks for staying with us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Today, we are with Father Ian Kelly, newly minted priest, as we've said from time to time. Father, in parish work and stuff, you've also done some emceeing for the bishop. Let's talk about that a little bit. What does that entail?
So being the master of ceremonies for the bishop is taking care of him and managing the liturgy. So, picking him up and driving over to wherever the mass is, getting everything set up, making sure everything's good to go. So you're kind of just making sure that the bishop can just smoothly do the mass wherever you're going. And you're kind of behind the scenes, making sure the servers are good to go, making sure, everything's in place, ready to go for everything to be as beautiful and wonderful as possible.
Sure. Sure. Well, people expect an event with a bishop to be smooth and meaningful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and so, you know, the bishop's walking into a worship space he's never been in before. And, you know, the servers have probably never served a mass with a bishop before. And so you're just trying to kind of make sure that, like, at the end of the day, everything falls on you. But it's a really great experience to just make everyone really comfortable and to know that at the end of the day, no one's going to remember anything really bad happening.
That's a good thing. You mentioned a couple times working with youth.
Yeah.
And you also had, before you were a priest, worked at a summer camp for 4 years, and now in the school teaching. Mm-hmm. How important do you feel that is part of your priesthood?
Yeah, so, you know, I think, one of the most important things is really how do we reach our youth and how do we create these opportunities for encounter? Our kids learn a lot of catechesis, and sometimes it sticks and sometimes it doesn't, and that's why we have adult faith formation as well. But how do we create those moments and those opportunities for them to encounter the living God? And I just remember even when I was at the University of Dayton, I was like, oh, I wish I had an even better experience in my youth and I wanted to give back. And when I got to the seminary, I had found out that there was an opportunity to work at this summer camp. And I said, sure. I had no idea what I was signing up for, to leave home for 9 weeks and I'm to kind of be on this mission. And then to just come back time and time again and have these different experiences that really, I think, helped form me to know each child is different, but that we need to bring each child to this living encounter, you know, whether it's through their praying with the scriptures and Lectio Divina or they're encountering the Lord in adoration.
Yeah. What age kids were these?
So it was all middle school and high school aged.
So that's a fragile age when it comes to faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes what their peers say is more important than what mom and dad or even a priest says.
Yeah, you know, so really trying to build them up and let them know that there's others who care about the faith. And so, you know, you're not alone. Sometimes the reality is sometimes you might feel really alone being one who's living out their faith, when in reality, there's so many other people out there. And so that great encouragement to be like, no, there's these other people living out their faith. And, you know, there's actually these college kids that are living out their faith who are coming back to work here. And they're kind of cool. So I can do this too. You know, you don't got to be cool to not go to church, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. What advice do you have for parents of kids who maybe are saying, I don't want to go, you know, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's the right amount of, forcing them to go to an extent, you know, but trying to find these opportunities for them to, encounter God, you know, opportunities for them to actually be in a time of prayer and finding these great opportunities for retreats or summer camps that have these impactful encounters where sometimes the parents aren't there. Because that's like an important thing too, is that the kids make the faith their own.
You never want mom and dad to be the chaperone or the table leader or anything like that.
Yeah. And it's important to have parents involved, but not of their own children, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then they see that it's this intergenerational reality as well.
Yeah. The youth group at St. Mary's has been talked about out in Hudson. have been talked about a lot because a lot of priests have come out of mm-hmm. that, and it's a vibrant and it sounds like a mission maybe that they might be seeing a little of at St. John Vianney.
Yeah, so you know we're slowly building up our youth group at St. John Vianney and just you know trying to create a place that kids know is fun and that they know brings them closer to God. You know, and just trying to help establish that and see, you know, who comes and really know that sometimes often in youth ministry, you sow a lot of seeds and you don't see a lot of growth sometimes, but you're hoping to see it, you know, 10 years down the line that the priest that comes here says, wow, there's all these young families here because of their impactful encounter through the school and through the parish activities.
If a young man or woman is feeling a call and want to sow that seed, mm-hmm. Water that seed, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah.
What would you advise them?
Yeah, so I think, you know, first and foremost, you know, how is your prayer? You know, like what are you doing in prayer? Are you spending time in adoration every week? Are you spending time going to daily mass? You know, even if it's not at your home parish per se, you know, finding a daily mass that's out there somewhere in the evening or early in the morning to go to add in that extra element of going to the Eucharist. And then taking time to just ask God what he's calling you to. Spending that time in that silent prayer and seeing the way in which he affects you. And then, you know, also talking to your priest and finding ways to really start living the life of Christ in your everyday life. And, you know, if you really feel that this is the call, then going out and reaching out to the vocations office and really having some more serious conversations about what's next in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there more to life than just going to college and getting a degree? But really, what is God calling me to for my vocation for the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm. This is more on a personal note. My mind wanders when I'm in front of the mm-hmm. tabernacle. I really have to work at that. I'm very easily distracted.
Yeah.
By what I have to do next. How do you block stuff out?
Yeah. So I think, you know, when you're easily distracted, you know, and you're in these different scenarios and you have all these distractions, you know, the first thing to do is to just not give up. You know, so often it's easy for us to just, I'm just so distracted. So we leave prayer. You know, if we're distracted in prayer, you know, we never know what that one moment of clarity is going to come. We never know when that one moment of, oh yeah, this is what God's calling me. Like I heard mm-hmm. it clearly today, clearer than ever before, you know, it might come. And so it's in that persistence and in that consistency that we begin to hear God. And so the more that we keep going back into it, you know, I also remind people that prayer in many ways, sometimes we'll say that it's a exercise. You know, and so we need to think about normal exercise. You can't just go do 100 push-ups if you haven't been training for it. So to say like, oh, I'm going to go spend an hour in adoration today. Well, if we haven't been training ourselves for an hour of adoration, how are we going to be able to sit in that silence? Or how are we preparing ourselves for that? Are we bringing a scripture passage to meditate on, to reflect on? Are we bringing maybe a homily to reflect on? You know, what are these things that maybe we're doing to prepare ourselves to go into this time of spiritual exercise, to really go about that and to really see the ways that God is speaking to us through Scripture, speaking to us in the Word.
Yeah, the distractions, somebody told me this, and I think it's good advice, that's the evil one pulling us away. And so sometimes I have a little crucifix right there, which will frighten the evil one away.
Absolutely. And if you notice the distraction, you just say, okay, let me get back focused.
Yeah. It works. It absolutely does. Father, thanks very much for joining us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Delightful conversation, Father Ian Kelly. I knew I was going to make that mistake, darn it. Ian Kelly joining us on God Calling this week. Thank you, and thank you for listening each and every week at this very same time on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, AM1260TheRock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM1260TheRock.com.